Good morning, everyone. This is Carol Anderson, and I want to welcome you this morning to my monthly teleseminar series, Secret to Finally Attract and Keep the Partner of Your Dreams. I'm honored, as always, to have you guys as my guests this morning. And as usual, I want to take a moment to acknowledge you for taking time out of your busy schedule, even possibly from your family time and maybe work or different things you need to do today, just to tune into this call. And I really, really want to stress this every week because it is important. I believe it's so important for you to realize just how unique you are for being on a call like this. You know, many singles are pretty clueless about how relationships work, and so they think that it comes from just finding someone with whom they have a lot of chemistry, and then they'll live happily ever after. Well, it's a lot more complicated. Those of you who have been on my calls, you know that it's a lot more complicated than that. Dad, hopefully you are here because you're interested in finding something more meaningful in your life. And you're hopefully also here because you want to learn more about relationships. And that's how to have a deep, meaningful, and lasting relationship. And the way I believe is that's best worked on before you get into one. So I congratulate you for being here. So I want to give you my regular disclaimer that while the information I'm going to teach you this morning is very important, everything you need to know and practice to have your dream relationship cannot be accomplished within these calls. We're coming close to the one-year mark, so there's a lot of calls recorded on the website. What you have to realize that knowledge is not the same as practice or implementation of that knowledge. We all know how challenging it can be taking something we've just learned and just actually putting it into practice into our lives, taking diets, for example. We may know how to eat healthy, but we still have the bowl of ice cream or the donut or whatever. So at the end of our call, for those who are serious about this journey, I'll give you another opportunity to get more help from me personally if you've not already done that. For those of you who may be new, I want to just tell you a little bit more about myself and how I got into relationship coaching. So first, I've been married for 42, and I guess it's coming up on almost 43. In June, it'll be 43 years. And I've been a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Fresno for over 20. And I've been a certified Imago relationship therapist for both couples and singles for more than 18 years. And here in Fresno, I've become really the respected go-to relationship therapist here where I live and practice. And I've worked with over 1,000 singles and couples in my 27-year total therapy career, helping them find, create, and keep the relationship of their dreams. The work I do in relationships, though, is probably the most challenging of all the specialties I could have ever chosen in the therapy field. But I really feel it's my calling to work in relationships, specifically with couples and singles. And while it's very rewarding, I've become increasingly frustrated with that field, with insurance companies dictating what I can and cannot do with people in my office, and most importantly, its complete focus on mental illness. And so, because I love this work, I have decided to transition out of doing therapy so I can offer more services to singles and couples without the stigma of people requiring to have a diagnosis of mental disorder on your medical records forever. So without further ado, let's learn a little bit about how singles sabotage their relationships, or what I call relationship sabotageosis 101. And I hope that you'll find this morning's presentation fun, but I suspect you will also find it somewhat sobering at the same time. And you'll probably recognize some of the ways that you have sabotaged your relationships. So this morning, what you're going to learn on this call is 5 bugs or viruses that infect singles and can kill a new relationship. You're going to learn one absolutely terminal chronic condition. You're going to learn who is susceptible to all these diseases, what the symptoms and side effects are, once infected, what the prognosis is, and how to prevent these serious plagues, plus more. So why do you think it's so difficult to maintain a healthy relationship these days, but the divorce rate continues to rise? More people than ever are single, yet most are still looking for their dream relationship. Once they find it with someone who seems so perfect, it often soon becomes their worst nightmare. Now, what causes this and how can it be prevented? Now, I've talked before about the social changes that make relationships so very complex and complicated these days. But I believe that the main cause of relationship failure is the rampant virus that few know about, that I call relationship sabotageosis. This virus, in effect, causes a relationship to be doomed from the start. And there are many different mutations of this virus, but I'm going to look at the five most serious ones. The first mutation I call relationship overlapposis. It's beginning a new relationship while still in an old one. The cause is that you haven't formally broken up or divorced, but you rationalize by saying, "My relationship's been dead for years anyway." Symptoms include chronic confusion of partner and denial of your own part in why the old relationship died. Now, side effects include relapse of previous relationship issues, including arguing, blaming, withdrawing, avoiding, and most often dishonesty and paranoia and or jealousy. The prognosis is usually almost every time terminal, with most overlapposis relationships succumbing within 2 to 3 years, and often due to the contagious nature of the virus replicating itself between partners with a new overlapposis relationship. Now, prevention always includes formal terminating one relationship prior to beginning a new one, or even better, working on the current relationship so it improves. Additionally, reading books on relationships, attending workshops, lectures on relationships, and participating in therapy or coaching to determine what you contributed to the problems that caused the relationship to end, and then work on becoming less contagious. People don't realize that it's not the partner who's the problem. In every relationship, each person contributes to every problem, and when we leave one relationship without working on our contribution to that problem, then we simply take the problem with us. And then it replicates. The second one is very common. It's thought actually to be a mutation of relationship overlapposis, but it often coexists with it. And I call it termination grief minusis. The cause is beginning a new relationship without taking sufficient time to grieve the loss of the old one, and sometimes without ever grieving it. So the symptoms are similar to overlapposis and include confusing and comparing the old partner with the new one. Side effects often include relapsing again of old issues in the new relationship and arguing, blaming, avoiding, and withdrawing. As in overlapposis, the prognosis is often terminal, with most succumbing within 2 to 3 years. It's very parallel to overlaposis. Prevention involves participating in therapy, working through grief, saying goodbye, letting go of both the good and the bad so that the ghosts of the past don't haunt the present. And they always will if you don't put them to rest. The third mutation of the RS virus I call lacopurpositis. And it's caused from not clearly defining your own life purpose, your dreams and goals, your values, and your relationship requirements. Symptoms include not having a clearly developed, mature self-identity, which causes your relationship to always be hollow and shallow, because you are. Now, the side effects of this are that you both are really two halves trying to become a whole, looking merely to the other partner to fill in the gaps and complete you. Again, the prognosis is poor, with partners either leading parallel lives or creating an unhealthy codependency upon each other. I saw one therapist describe this as leanie beanies, and if you take two people standing up, maybe about 3 feet apart, but then they lean their heads and their hands together and prop each other up, when one stands up straight, the other falls flat on their face. And so unhappiness is the result. You must both stay dependent upon each other in an unhealthy way in order to maintain the relationship. Often one person outgrows that and wants more. So prevention involves clearly identifying your life purpose, your life goals, your values, your dreams, and especially your relationship requirements, needs, and wants. And in this way, you become the chooser in the relationship. Now, the next one is a rampant virus in our modern society, to the point that most singles don't even recognize it as dangerous, as a dangerous virus. In fact, it's expected that it will be present in almost every case. And this one is going to be difficult for many of you. I'm sure most of you have already been infected with it. I call it obsessive sexual rapiditis. It is also often caused by lacopurpositis or relationship overlaposis and even termination grief menusis. But symptoms always include premature sexual contact prior to building a foundation of friendship and prior to formal mutual commitment. Now, this needs to be done in a way that is public and in a way that both partners know that a commitment was made. So in our society, that's usually marriage, but there may be different, less committed rituals that people participate in. And it doesn't have to be marriage, but the more committed you are, the less of a problem there is or there will be. The relationship in these cases where there's no real commitment, mutual commitment, is usually centered on sex and with few activities out of bed. And if there are activities out of bed, they usually lack real intimacy. There's usually no real intimacy in the relationship. Maybe there's having fun and going places together, but there's few significant conversations where both feel intimate and share who they really are and learn who their partner is. Side effects often include bonding with a stranger or someone you find out too late has a Jekyll and Hyde personality. Now, what most people don't realize about sexual activity is it is designed to bond us because its evolutionary purpose is to create family. Now, of course, it's more than that to us, but that still is the hardwired purpose, is to bond so that you will stay together for a family. And so when you're bonding with someone, you don't even notice the red flags. You don't find out who they really are. You see them as a fantasy, who's perfect for you, and you excuse, dismiss, or minimize many of those red flags. So the prognosis is again poor, with relationships terminating usually between 6 months and 2 to 5 years. It usually will either terminate quickly or it will terminate after about 5 years. If the relationship survives for longer, so partners have a strong commitment to each other, they often exhibit chronic self-centeredness and selfishness. They're arguing and blaming, and oftentimes these couples move into what I call a sexually anorexic state, eventually having no or little sex at all, and this will become the norm for them. Now, prevention, unfortunately, includes a challenging physical therapy prescription of abstinence until after STD testing and a strong commitment is made, as well as treating for lacopurpositis and relationship overlaposis if they coexist. Number 5 is usually caused from obsessive sexual rapiditis and results in a premature ending of the bonding stage of romantic love. And this is called relationship cohabitosis. Now, symptoms of cohabitosis include the couple moving in together, either trying to save money or because they cannot stand to be apart. Often, no commitment is ever made beyond cohabitosis, which results in a kind of a vulnerable situation for one or both partners. Side effects are that marriage becomes postponed repeatedly until we work things out, quote unquote. Arguments often become themed around commitment issues, and insecurity develops on the part of one or both partners, with nagging about commitment, arguing, withdrawing, etc., often resulting. Now, the prognosis is that if marriage does occur, research has actually shown that a higher divorce risk occurs among these couples. Prevention includes a commitment to living separately until after marriage, or at least until a strong commitment is made and you're sure this is the person you want to be with. Now, the final condition that I want to inform you about is not a virus, but a chronic mental health condition. And it includes an attitude of apathy, arrogance, or even low self-esteem. Now, this is called personal growth phobia and is usually caused by ignorance of the importance of personal growth or believing that one is either perfect or hopeless. A fear of finding out something different or caused from pretending to be interested in personal growth but not following through on the prescribed exercises or assignments causes this condition to become chronic and progressive. So symptoms usually include absence of relationship skills, as well as sometimes including mocking of friends who are interested in personal growth, but always a phobic reaction to personal growth workshops, lectures, and books exist, as well as finally profuse sweating, rapid heart rate, and increased respiration if forced to relationship therapy or coaching by a partner. The side effects include blaming the partner for all the problems, arguing, and defensiveness about one's own contribution to a problem, as well as an unrealistic expectation of the partner and believing in the fantasy of happily ever after. The prognosis is terminal, with most every relationship failing sooner or later, which leads to serial monogamy. If the relationship survives, partners become more like roommates than lovers and seek other means to meet their needs. Prevention includes recognizing that healthy relationships don't come naturally or easily. Plus, a regular and healthy diet of personal growth, including workshops, lectures, books, working out regularly with a coach, or if more severe condition or an advanced condition exists or is chronic already, working out with a therapist. Now, these five bugs are the primary mutations of the virus of relationship sabotageosis and usually coexist with the chronic condition of personal growth phobia. Avoid them like the plague. And if exposed, immediately take the appropriate remedies as suggested earlier. In summary, these always include a prescription of regular checkups with your personal coach or therapist. And for overall prevention, I also recommend an exercise of good personal growth practices, as I mentioned above, and learning relationship skills. A regular healthy diet of personal growth activities and reading of relationship books will help you to avoid catching these often terminal diseases. So that's it for today's topic. I want to take a moment to encourage you to schedule your dream partner strategy session with me if you haven't already done so. And this is a free 45-minute consultation to help you start gaining clarity and motivation on your relationship goals, and a customized tip for each person to get started. The website to schedule that appointment is www.meetme.so/Carol A. Anderson. Meet Me is meetme.so, which stands for schedule once, /Carol, C-A-R-O-L, A, Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. Our next call is normally scheduled the last Saturday of the month, but that's Easter weekend. And so I think on Saturday people will be spending it with their families or traveling. And what I'm going to do is reschedule it to the fourth Saturday, which is March 23rd. That's where I'll be discussing a very interesting topic, how to know when you've really got the wrong partner and what to do about it. Some of the strategies you will learn on this call are the role of the unconscious in partner selection, and how to balance the driven unconscious to select this partner with the conscious to make an intentional selection of a partner, and what you must absolutely already have in place and know before you start serious dating. How to stay in control of yourself and keep your eyes wide open. What the red flags really are and how to watch for them. What to do when you realize that you've really made a huge mistake. And how to know when it's time to walk. Okay, so I hope that that's an interesting talk to you. It looks like today's call is going to be a little shorter than usual. I want to thank you again for attending, and remember that your dream partner is waiting for you. And so I'll see you on March 23rd. Thank you for coming.